This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, welcome and thanks for tuning into the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. I'm Carm Capriotto. We are in episode 632 featuring Fernando and Jonathan Osorio, brothers from Milestone Motors in Royal Palm Beach, Florida, and their emotional and revealing story into shop ownership. You know, a common phrase people use is family over everything, but how many people truly live that mantra? Fernando and Jonathan Osorio are more than just two brothers owning an automotive business, and we hear about their approach to business coaching while their business was just only a few months old, and their emotional bond when Fernando donated his kidney to save Jonathan's life. Prepare to be inspired as you listen to this heartwarming episode. Thanks to the Osorio brothers for sharing this great story. Hey, grateful for our sponsors, Apex and Shopware. Now imagine this, a simulated real-world shop environment with 8 service bays, lifts, and vehicles, allowing you to see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use them in real time. Hey, welcome to the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021. I'll be there inside of Joe's Garage November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. Visit aapexshow.com for more information. Hope to see you there. Hey, here's a little tip for you. Sell with clicks, not calls. Showcase your technical expertise and get to yes faster. Now, with Shopware's online interactive repair orders, you will put your value at your customer's fingertips. Book a demo today at GetShopware.com. Hey, don't forget, we go live every Tuesday, Friday, and every other Wednesday. Want to be on one of our live shows or podcast releases? Just email me, carm@remarkableresults.biz. I'm sure you've got some great things to say. Hey, the key talking points for this episode can be found on the website, remarkableresults.biz/E632. Hey, thanks for listening and learning just one thing. Hey, warm welcome to Jonathan and Fernando Osorio from Milestone Motors. Hey, guys.
Hey, how are you doing, Carm?
South Florida, exactly where? Miami?
It's in Royal Palm Beach, so it's maybe about a mile or two of West Palm Beach, out west.
Royal Palm Beach. So that means that there's a lot of expensive cars out there, right?
Yes. There's about a population of 38,000 living people here in Royal Palm, so most of it is upper scale. It's a mix, but the Polo Club is a few miles from here also, so we definitely see the spike in volume around the time when the season comes in.
A very interesting place to live and be and to see all that money hanging out, and hopefully you guys will have an opportunity to take advantage of that in your shop. The reason that Jonathan and Fernando are here is they have one hell of a story to tell. I got to say, when I heard the story, it was like a no-brainer. We knew that the podcast needed to cover this incredible story about these two young, I think 29, 30, 31-year-old guys who are in business for such a short time, had these incredible dreams. And I have to tell this part of the story. It started because you guys wanted to party in 2018 like it was 1999.
No restrictions. Soccer.
Yeah, it was that whole World Cup soccer thing. And, you know, hang in there with us, guys, to our listener, because this story gets really good and it gets better. So you had an opportunity to go to the World Cup and you said, screw it, you quit your jobs.
The World Cup trip was planned and that for sure we were going. As far as the time off, I went to my boss at the time and I asked for, I think it was 35 days off. And
millennial. What do they call those? Millennials?
Yeah. They call them millennials. Yes. Those unpredictable. They're not sure what they're going to do tomorrow. Millennials. Boss probably looked at you and had a belly laugh.
Yeah. The audacity I had to walk in there and ask for 35 days off. There's just some sort of, I walked in there confidently asking for the days off because I felt I knew what my value was. And true to it, he told me up front, we can't give you this time off.
It's not happening.
It's not going to happen.
And you had been doing a really good job. You were BMW Master Tech?
Yes. So I worked at our local dealer for BMW. And I was there, I would say, about 7 years, level one Master Tech, hybrid, full electric certified. I would produce a solid 60, 65 hours a week there, consistent. It was a good job. I liked working there.
As a listener, please think about what motivated you to get into business. What were the circumstances around how you started your business? And this is kind of a story like that, where you did both go to the World Cup and spend those 35 days. You came back to no job, Fernando, right?
Yes.
And Jonathan, what was your circumstance?
I didn't have to quit any job. My dad and everybody that was going kind of, you know, has a business. They're well established or have some passive income. So nobody really had a schedule or anything like that. My brother was really the only one. As for me, I was kind of working with my dad at the time and more of a freelancer, you know, and it wasn't a big deal to me, but to my brother, you know, just seeing everybody like so flexible, like, yeah, let's go, you know, let's rock and roll. And he's just there kind of with like a pair of golden handcuffs on, you know, well-paying job. I mean, you're young, making close to almost 100K at that place, you know, and just to walk away because he felt tied to it. And that was just a big thing there.
So you came back and you decided that you were going to get into business and somehow move us up into the COVID realm. I know you tried used cars and stuff, but we hear these stories of, yeah, I started my business in January 2020. And then you all know what happened, right?
Lightly touching on it, I came back from the World Cup. We started a used car dealership and we quickly learned that that's not our niche. That's not our forte. I have a set of skills and pretty qualified. So we shifted into just servicing vehicles and then
wasn't a niche either.
That wasn't a niche either. We were servicing all vehicles, but we went into just, let's fast forward to around that January time where we focused. We said, we're only going to service BMWs and Mini Coopers.
Jonathan, did you go to your brother and basically say, are you kidding me? Why aren't we doing BMWs? Is that what happened?
It's pretty weird that we didn't apply his skill set immediately. Like you would think, oh, it's a no-brainer. You know, you work on these cars, let's get to it.
I mean, you were the best asset of the business then, right?
Yeah, but we didn't know that. We didn't. I mean, I had no idea.
What was the tipping point, so to speak, is we joined the Smart Group, and at that point, we kind of were already in the direction of only servicing BMWs. And once we joined the Smart Group, it was just a fountain of information.
Revolutionary. That's what it was.
I'm so happy to hear you say that, because what's so important is so young into business, so young in just as, you know, in your age group. I found out about you guys from Esteban Gonzalez, and he was there. And there was so much going on with the fact that you guys jumped into coaching 20 group training stuff, I mean, so soon. And I would love to know what motivated you to do that.
Fortunately, when I worked at the dealership, there was a gentleman that I met there, and I only worked with him for about a month. And he went separate ways with the company, and he opened his own shop also here in South Florida. His name is Martin. The shop's called Motorhaus. We only met each other and we only worked together for about a month, but we exchanged contact information, and years down the road, when I was still at the dealership, we spoke once and he asked me if I wanted to go work Saturday at his shop to catch up on work. He was pretty busy. I didn't end up going just because I was already full with my, you know, 40 hours a week there at the dealer. Fast forward a couple of years later, I called him, or we got in contact somehow again when we had our own shop here in Royal Palm Beach, and we were servicing all models. And he may not know this, but he was a mentor to us, and he was very open and transparent. He was just willing to guide us in a direction or give us so much knowledge without thinking, you know, they could be my competition or any of that.
What was the statement he uses? We're all in the trenches together.
We're all in the trenches. Yeah. And that stuck with us, you know, and
it did hard.
Believe it or not, Carm, he invited us to this first Smart Group meeting that by coincidence was here in South Florida. And the Smart Group was going to go to his shop to evaluate his shop and see where he could improve. So, Carm, imagine this, okay? We didn't know what an average repair order was. We didn't know where it should be. We go into this Smart Group. the first experience we have, it's a projector. Everybody's showing their numbers. Somebody in their group says, I know this isn't a big deal, but we broke a million and a half. Put yourself there, young, just starting out.
Yeah, you probably had $10,000 worth of revenue and somebody's doing a million and a half and they're a little embarrassed about it. Jesus.
Yeah, and they're like, this isn't a big deal. So to us, you know, it opened our eyes, and an advantage of starting out so fresh and new and not being in the business 20 years is that instead of trying to straighten a crooked root, we can plant a new seed, water it, and bring it to fruition the way it should be, not try and make those adjustments.
What you just said was so powerful and so important. How many people get a chance to start a business, bump into a smart group, and then decide to learn everything you possibly can? Did you join that group then?
Absolutely.
So there's a big plus, if you will, on the plus column of your success pathway. Not that you guys are so incredibly successful today, but you've got a road out there that's a whole lot clearer.
Some blueprints.
And then one thing I got to bring up is that mentoring thing. You know, the small world, the connections, the networking. You never know with this business card or this name can produce opportunity down the road.
You really don't. Nowadays, you can Google and you can find information and all these things, and everybody has their own perspective on it. But there is nothing like joining a group with people who have the same goals, the same vision, speaking with somebody directly that has been in the business 20 years, you know, that can help you kind of play the chess moves with those growing pains so you don't go through them. Imagine creating your own handbook versus being able to, somebody shares their handbook with you that's out of business for 20 years, their order of operations, their systems and process, all these things that you can connect with other likewise business owners and share information the same way we're kind of new school, so to speak. So we see things a little differently. Maybe our marketing is a little more aggressive in certain ways. We get to share that with them. To join a group like that, we would have not made it. I would say that now. We would have not made it. You can be a functioning business where you pay your bills, but to be able to delegate, to get to a point where it is it's an operating business on its own, to make it past that 10-year mark, you have to have coaching.
I'm inspired by your story. That's a really big part of why we're doing this episode together. But then there's this other really deep, important part of this story that I really would love to go into, guys, if you wouldn't mind, that about 10 months ago, Jonathan, you weren't feeling good.
Has to do kind of with another vacation. We were on vacation. You know, we went on a cruise. I kind of just got off the cruise, normal day.
Hey, I got to stop you for a minute. I mean, you guys in Florida, you know how to party. That's all I got to tell you. You take all kinds of cruises. I mean, those cruise ships dock right there, right?
Yeah, yeah. Hour away.
I think we may have skipped a little part right there, which is the whole reason of why we started the business is freedom. You got to work hard. You got to give it your all for a solid, you know, 20 years or around there. But there's nothing more noble than creating your own empire. And once you get there, you're financially free and you have freedom. So for us, for me, when I had to ask somebody else for vacation time and it was denied, that was kind of like the breaking where let's do something on our own.
In 20 years, you'll look back and say that was a defining moment.
Absolutely. Believe me, we just look back at the little milestones that we've done, and it's we've taken leaps and bounds since we started. But I'll let Jonathan continue with his story.
Quick summary. Got off this cruise. It was a 5 or 7 day cruise. Got off. We had a great time. Probably 24 hours later, maybe the next day over, I just got this really intense headache. Weird. It was nauseating. I've never felt a headache like that before. And come to find out, it was my blood pressure. It was like at 180, but it went down a little bit. For the next 3 days, I just had like this consistent headache. Like I've never felt it before. So I went and, you know, got some blood work, urine, and within like a week probably got down to this crazy news. Hey, your kidneys are slowly failing, you know, and there's really no way to stop it. It's just a matter of time, you know. They measure it up to 100%. It's called your GFR. When I got tested, as in my blood work, I was at 32%. So I'm down there, you know. I'm 28 years old, or 29 at that time. And man, it hit me pretty hard. That was when, I don't know, I just entered this different chapter of life. You know, I got this news, I got to figure it out, I got to deal with it. So I watched, you know, every time I'd get blood work, I would just see this percentage just go lower and lower and lower. And then I went to, did another family trip. We went to Colombia. I wanted to get a second opinion, you know, so I visited like two different doctors over there. We were there for a couple weeks, pretty much same thing, you know, this is what it is. And, you know, it's the truth, you know, your kidneys are not doing well. Blah, blah, blah. Come back home and I get some blood work done. Now I'm at 9%, you know, so you can imagine it's a drag to even walk. No appetite. Like, you know, it's like a car with a 10-year-old filter on it. Like, it's eventually just not going to work. And, you know, the day that the doctor, I'd get blood work, then go visit the doctor, we'd go over results. The day he read the results, he's pretty much like, all right, you know, today's the day you have to go to the hospital and just get admitted. And then I got admitted, and the reason I got admitted was to prepare. I had to get a surgery where they put this, I think it's called it's not a catheter. Anyways, it's a tube that goes into your body, pretty much. It's for dialysis. So I was there about 3 or 4 days getting that procedure done. It wasn't fun, you know, not at all. And I pretty much left the hospital with a hose coming out of my stomach. And I had to go do some training to learn how to do this. Long story short, every night I had to do 9 hours of dialysis. So I'd, you know, it's like a 30-minute hookup procedure. You have to be very sanitary, as you can imagine. I'd hook up, I'd wake up. You know, I don't sleep a full nine. So I'd just sit in bed waiting like 2 hours for this to be done. And that was literally, that's why I was alive, you know. I was plugged up to this machine for a good 5 weeks, every single night, you know. It was intense, to say the least. And then, you know, my brother offered pretty much, hey, I'll give you my kidney, as my sister did too. And then, you know, a couple tests later, you know, okay, you guys are compatible. My brother is, what is it, O negative or O positive?
O negative.
Yeah. O negative. So, you know, I could use that. And then they go, you know, match everything up, tissue, XYZ. And next thing you know, this is in the myths. This isn't about the beginning of COVID. Would you say 2 months in maybe when it was being talked about, you know, yes. Nobody was sure yet.
So we started going through the testing procedures at the beginning of April. We closed the shop down March 30th. In January is when we made the transition to just servicing BMWs and Minis. And we understood kind of where the numbers should be. And we were slowly starting to get momentum. Right around March, the end of March is when we decided we were going to do a test and procedures in April to see basically who was compatible. Once you found out that I was compatible, then I have to go through the testing procedures to make sure that I'm healthy. And so that was when we closed March 30th and all of April. We stayed quarantined at home, and May 14th, we did the kidney transplant at the Miami Medical Institute.
This is COVID. So literally, we wake up at 4 a.m. We're with my mom, dad, and my sister. They just drove us, pretty much dropped us off, and then it's just like, you know, cut you open. Then we woke up pretty much. Give me a second here. So we get dropped off at this hospital. I've never even been here before. Just, hey, little hug, drop you guys off. What, within the hour, we're in just this gown, laying next to each other.
No family, no friends, no nothing. It was all COVID lockdown. Wow.
They didn't even walk through the doors. They couldn't. Just right there, right at the front, like you're getting dropped off at school. So they dropped us off. You know, we got in our gowns. Boom, boom, boom. I just remember they took him, they took me, to go put me to sleep. It was just, it was unreal, you know, an hour into being there, I'm getting put down, you know, and they're going to cut into my brother and pull out a kidney. That's going to be like, you know, in somebody's hands at some point in the air, and then they're going to go transfer it into me and just sew me up, sew him up. That happened. And then I just woke up and it hurt so bad that for the first 3 days, I couldn't talk this loud. If you paid me $1 million, it was whispering. You cannot move. It's just a hole. They cut through, like, you know, your skin, your muscle, and they just get in there. So you're feeling pain, you know, pretty much from your shoulders down. And I remember just waking up. I had no idea how much time had gone by. It had been like, 10 hours that went by or something. I wouldn't wake up. My brother woke up before me. I was just out. I just remember just waking up and looking around and feeling the weirdest feeling. Like my whole body was like, I don't know if you've ever used a weed whacker before for like an hour or two, or like something that vibrates a lot. Well, it felt like my whole body was just like a, like electricity. I don't know. Just like, it's so weird. Like I was it's a strange feeling I've never felt before. And I don't have nobody to even talk to. I'm just laying there. And I'm like, it was intense to say the least. That's my part of it. You know, it was just a lot.
Thank you for sharing. I know it would emotionally, very emotional to retell that story.
Yeah, it gets me.
Fernando, you're a hero to your brother, I'm sure.
It's a no-brainer, you know, for us, family, and we've been so united always. My mom has 6 siblings. My dad has 2 siblings. So we always have just been so family oriented, and that's always been most important to us. We had cousins, we had friends that all submitted the application to go through a testing procedure for him. As long as one of us was going to be compatible, he was going to get a kidney, and it was just, there was no second thinking it.
Hey, Carm here, and coming up on top of everything, Fernando and Jonathan discuss some big goals they have for their future. Hey, imagine being able to see new product, tools, and equipment demos in a simulated real-world shop environment, complete with 8 service bays, lifts, vehicles, and a service counter. And in the same time, being able to have face-to-face communication with representatives of leading companies to ask questions and talk product capabilities, benefits, and utilization? That's what awaits you in the new Joe's Garage at Apex 2021, November 2nd through the 4th in Las Vegas. It's early in the planning stages, but already big names have reserved bays in Joe's Garage, including Autel, BG Products, Bosch, Coates, Hunter Engineering Company, and Napa Auto Care. Watch for additional companies to participate in the coming months and an official schedule of demos in the summer. Joe's Garage is part of the new Repair Shop HQ. It's an area dedicated specifically to service and repair, and it's located on Level 1 of the Sands Expo. Visit aapexshow.com for more info. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now, that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. What I found out when I talked to you guys earlier is the surgery for you, Fernando, is tougher than it was for Jonathan. Is that true?
Yeah, it is tougher because his function of his kidneys were at, you know, 6-8%. So he's kind of already in the worst state he could be in, and I'm fully functioning, and then I get an organ removed from me. So my recovery is a little bit, I think the pain level, from what I understood, is a little more intense at the beginning. Yeah, the recovery just took maybe a little bit longer, but
it was intense for you because I didn't know this till the day of the transplant, by the way. You know, your kidney, I knew this part, your kidneys are back here. So they had to reach all the way back there, you know, to get the kidney. And for me, believe it or not, when you get a transplanted kidney, it goes here. Like, you know, there's a scar. It goes right here. Like, that's where my kidney's at. So they just cut me open there and dropped it in. They had to actually go to his kidneys way back there, you know. So it was very invasive for him.
Thank you for sharing that story. I no doubt you guys are more bonded as brothers than ever before.
Something weird about that too. I swear to God, like, we're connected mentally now. I'm not even kidding. The coincidence that happened now, and like, it's just weird. You know, it's accurate to the day. We'll go over something.
So you're finishing each other's sentences, right?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah,
we call each other. If we're not together, we talk about 5 times a day, just phone calls constantly. And I'll touch on something and he'll be like, yeah, I was just thinking about that and what we should do. And we'll keep building onto it.
So let's talk about the business. How long after all the surgeries did you guys, or at least you, Fernando, get back at it?
6 months, exactly 6 months after we opened up again.
So you're open for 2, you closed for 6, and then you're back at it again. So it's still an incredibly young business.
Very. We're on track for some big things. We have a lot planned for the future. So we're very excited.
Yes.
How exciting. Anything you could share with us, or at least the fact that at least the goals that you're setting, you're realizing them?
Our goal is to be here in the West Palm Beach, Royal Palm Beach area, to be competition with all of the European dealerships as far as service and repairs go. There's a used car dealership in our area.
Off-lease is what it's called. Off-lease only.
They are a used car dealership, but they're huge here in South Florida.
They're competition to local dealers, put it that way. Yeah. Literally. They know what they're doing.
So we'll be the competition to all of the dealerships here for service and repair. We want 10 bays, standalone building, and from there grow on to doing the like the clear wraps for the vehicles, an auto body, everything automotive related.
What size building do you have now?
We have a 2,000 square foot building right now.
We started with a 1,000.
We started with 1,000 square foot, and from there we got the bay next door. We put air conditioning in both bays. We got the automatic garage door opener, and one of the doors, we're working on getting the other door replaced. It's outdated, so we can't put a motor on it right now. We got a tech on board with us now. We went from one appointment a day to this week we had 3 appointments on Monday. We had another 2 appointments on Tuesday, 3 appointments yesterday. So our work has
doubled or tripled.
It's tripled, and we're almost at the point where we need to get another guy. We need to get another guy in here.
So we went to a smart group meeting, what, 3 weeks ago?
About 3 weeks
ago. We're at the airport, you know, we had to be there 12 hours, little mix up, and we did numbers on having about 2.5 cars a day, was it?
Yeah.
And I mean, we're like, yeah, we're going to get there. And that was 3 weeks ago. And this tech came in 5 days ago. It just, everything just, like, the tech came and the tickets came and these 2 huge jobs came. And we're just like on another level. We hit another level. So we predicted well.
You guys had an incredibly divine intervention on your kidney. And so it's happening again.
Yeah, I absolutely. Promise the energy is there. And it's the universe is matching our energy. Absolutely, yeah. Is.
A frequency out there. You know, there's like a radio station.
Guys, any advice to young shop owners of encouragement?
Smart class. Smart group.
You have to continue education. Something that is, it's natural to us, most mechanic business owners, shops, is that there's a common denominator in that we started fixing cars, or we started with mechanics. That is predominantly our background. As you grow and as you get capped, there's a limit where if you don't continue education, you still have that paradigm of, I'm just here to fix a car. And although that is the sole purpose of our business is to fix a car, that's why people come here. The reason why you started a business is to seek financial freedom for you to be able to delegate to employees and have a chain of command, a systems and process where you don't have to be there every day. Eventually, you want to be able to take a step back and it be an operating business, a full flow operating business. And as mechanics, we don't know how to do that. We know how to fix a car. We know how to fix a problem, but we don't know how to. It's difficult for us to trust somebody else to do that work, to look at numbers and see where your average repair order should be, your margins, how much you should pay your tech. All these things are where you'll make it past that 10-year mark. If you don't know that, you're just a functioning business, but yeah. you can't sell this business. If you break a bone, a wrist, you're done. You're closed down because you're the one in there doing all the work. And so long as it's like that, it'll be very hard to take that vacation, and it'll take away from your personal life and from your family and you know, your kids. So all that works right now when you're young, if you want to be in there wrenching every day, but yeah. One person or two people, you can't do it all by yourself. You have to hire, you have to continue to scale, and the numbers have to match that. The margins, all of that stuff, they need to be parallel with it. You can work on 5 cars a week, or you can work on 20 cars a week and make the same profit. And the 20 cars, you have a lot more responsibilities, a lot of opportunity for error, a lot more people to follow up with, parts, all of that, like ants. You know, you might be just moving around all day, but you're not getting anything done. You're not being efficient. That's where we were at the beginning. Our average repair order was very low. And since we started the Smart Group, it's been multiplied by 3, you know, our average repair order.
It's really good news and wonderful advice. Jonathan, any final word?
No, just to tag on to what he was saying, you know, about a young mechanic opening a business, you know. I like to view it and explain it as, okay, fixing the car is just the medium, you know. I think it's under 10%. Like, you go in there thinking that's the whole pie, you know, fix this car, get it done. I would say that's 5%, you know, 10%. And then you got this other 90%, which is, you know, what my brother was touching on, the numbers, your RO, financials, understanding percentages, financials, setting these goals and pretty much seeing, you know, at this rate, I'm going to be here in 2 years. Does that number make me happy? I think 90% of new people probably never do that math and see at this rate, this is what I'll have in 2 years. You know, it's scary to do, but if everything's being done right, you know.
All right. Well, this was the first podcast ever that someone showed me their scar.
Well, I had to, you know.
This was a phenomenal episode. Thank you so much for being so transparent and so honest with us on your trek through your great world of financial freedom. That's what maybe we should call this episode,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Jonathan and Fernando Osorio, Milestone Motors, Royal Palm Beach, Florida. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you, Carm. It was a pleasure. And we'd love to do this again in maybe 2 years.
You know,
we'll
give
see
us
where
an
we're
update.
At. Maybe
I'd
before.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the Premier Automotive Aftermarket Podcast. Until next time.